And I'm thankful to be here and had a beautiful day. And now at the close of the day, we can assemble together in our midweek Bible study for just a little while, open up the pages of the Bible and study together from its contents. So this quarter, as you know, just to remind you, we've been going through some material that you can use in a home Bible study. You're going to study with folks along the way that really are going to need you to cover a wide range of topics. Maybe a study on Bible authority, study on the Lord's church, study on conversion, and the list just goes on and on. You may be studying with someone, they may agree with all the things that you've stated with them up to a particular point, but then they have questions concerning, well, I just don't understand why you folks don't use mechanical instrumental music. I just don't understand why you think it's wrong to have a choir. I just don't understand why you guys think that it is necessary to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We observe the Lord's Supper, but just not weekly. And so along the way, as questions come up, you need to have a good variety of material ready to study with those individuals. Try your best to commit to memory as well as you can at least a handful of Bible references that deal with a good number of topics. And then when someone asks you a question, you can at least give them some references and be ready. But there's folders in the back just like this one. I encourage you to pick one up, put these sheets in it as we go through our study, and have those to be able to study with individuals. And again, I've told you before, and I'll just kindly remind you, if you say, "Preacher, I don't want to use any of that. I just want to use my Bible. I don't want a handout. I just want to use my Bible." Well, that's great. Whatever gets the job done. And you just be prepared to study with them. So the question tonight, the one that was on your sheet, is why the Church of Christ? And I asked you to list as many reasons as you can as to why an individual should be a member of the Church of Christ. Really, that word "should" is not nearly a strong enough word. Why one must be, or why one needs to be, a member of the Church of Christ. But people you study with, by and large, that are religiously minded, they had no idea why they should be a member of the Church of Christ and not remain in the religion of which they're a member. And so we got to kindly point that out to them. Do you hesitate to say with folks that they must be a member of the Church of Christ? Do you hesitate to say with individuals that the Church of the New Testament is the Church of Christ? You feel like that might turn folks away? Do you think in the midst of a conversation that the moment that you say that you must be a member of the Church of Christ, that they are automatically shut down and will not listen to you? Johnny says, most of the time they will. I understand we've got to be tactful, but I've often just posed it to individuals this way. If they were to ask me, "Are you saying that the only saved people are members of the Church of Christ?" I'll answer your question if you will give me some time to do it. It needs explaining. They don't understand why we would say that you must be a member of the Church of Christ. Now, could you say to someone that you must be a member of the Church of God in order to be saved? Yes or no? Bernice said, several say yes. That might take some explaining to do. So before we even get to the sheet as to listing all the reasons as you could, and there's a bunch of them, as to why you need to be a member of the Church of Christ, we need to explain to people what we mean by Church of Christ. The people that you study with out in the religious world, they don't know what it means when you talk about the Church of Christ, but the Church of God. Now, they might have a preconceived notion. They might have an idea of what they think that means. But certainly, from the Bible standpoint, they don't know what we mean by that. And so, is it scriptural to say Church of Christ? I'm talking to a group of people that knows the answer to all these. But you say, yes, what are you basing that on? Romans 16:16, John, did you say the Bible?
Yeah.
Yes, the Bible tells me so. And where that's at is Romans 16:16. And you need to be familiar with that because it is a scriptural description of God's people. We need to point that out to folks. When folks say, well, the Bible doesn't say Church of Christ. Nowhere does it say Church of Christ. I recently listened to a man who was saying, you got to be a member of the Pentecostal church. And the preacher asked him, where does the Bible say Pentecostal church? Acts 2:1. That's where we're in Acts 2 on Sunday. The Bible in Acts 2 talk about the Pentecostal church? No. Now, he talks about Pentecost, which is an Old Testament feast day of the Jews, but it was a day and not in reference to the church. The word Pentecostal is nowhere in the Bible. So the Bible doesn't say that. Someone may say, they may make the argument when you read Romans 16:16, which says what? Salute one another with a holy kiss, just a cultural greeting. We shake hands, we give the right hand of fellowship. The churches of Christ salute you. Now someone may say, well, now hold on just a moment. What do you think they're going to argue on?
Churches.
Nowhere does the Bible say anywhere, Church of Christ. June said no. June's right. But you got to be ready to explain that to individuals. Now, how would you go about explaining Romans 16:16, which talks about churches of Christ?
More than one congregation.
Yeah. All that is just a plural form of the word church. Like in the book of Revelation, 1:2-3, what thou see, write in a book, and you send it to where? Seven churches which are at Asia. And so these were various different congregations of the Lord's people. And if you were talking about, if this were the only congregation in London, how would you say that? The Church of Christ in London. The Church of Christ means at Mill Street. But if you're talking about a plurality of congregations, you would say the churches of Christ. And that's all Romans 16:16 is. It's talking about. Bellis, did you want to make a comment?
Oh, just earlier when you was talking about the conversation with the person from Pentecostal, said you must be a Pentecostal. Well, I've heard Pentecostal preachers say their church didn't even start till 1901 or 1906. So what would be before then?
Yeah. We should be honest about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they'll also tell you people you start talking to, they'll tell you all churches is Christus. I know everybody in your church is talking about people you're going to die.
Any other comments about that?
In Acts 8:3 says Paul made had the church. He didn't say churches.
Good. That's Acts 8:3. Many times the Bible refers to church singular. Many times. The church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi, the church at Corinth. On and on and on. But you need to be able to explain that to individuals, and you've got to be able to explain what is meant by the phrase Church of Christ. It's a divine expression. We read about it in the Bible. But what does that mean? Folks you study with are not going to know. They're going to think that the Church of Christ is a denomination among many denominations. By the way, don't refer to the Church of Christ as... One, don't refer to it as a denomination. But don't refer to other denominations and say other. Because what does that imply about the church? That the Church of Christ is a denomination. And... what does it mean, Church of Christ? What does church mean?
Called out.
Called out. Of means belonging to. Who does the church belong to? Christ. Now, there's passages that you can use to show that, to prove that, that we belong to the Lord. Not only the passages that talk about being in His family and in God's family, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and other passages, but namely, Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28. Paul was talking to the elders Ephesus. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and to the flock of His Holy Spirit, made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He has what? Hath purchased with His own blood." It's kind of similar to what the Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 25. The church belongs to Christ.
That verse defines the church of God, which God is Christ.
The Bible refers to Christ as God. He's divine, right?
Yeah.
Passage in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 29. "And if you be Abraham's seed..." "If you then be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and theirs according to promise." And so we belong to Christ. That's all it's been. By that statement, we are called out of the world, delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13. So, you can prove to folks that it's scriptural to refer to God's people as the Church of Christ. Right? What about Church of God? We've got to do this quickly. We're going to run out of time. Church of God. Oh, we just read Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Take heed unto yourself to the flock of which the Holy Spirit made you overseers to feed the church of God." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, how's the church referred to as Paul is writing to those at Corinth? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 2. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 1. Church of God. By the way, what belongs to Christ belongs to God. Jesus even prayed in John chapter 17, talked about the apostles, those that you have given me, and so forth. But in Hebrews chapter 12, you have another designation of the church, which is what? Church of the... Yeah, Church of the Firstborn. 12 and then verse 23. What? Say that again, Blaine. Did you have another one?
No.
Yeah. It's okay. So, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. The point you've got to make with folks is there's a number of descriptions of the church in the New Testament, and any one of them are scriptural. If we were to take this sign down outside and put Church of God, would that be scriptural? Yes. Well, why don't we do that, someone says. Well, there'd be nothing wrong with doing that, but why do we use the phrase Church of Christ as opposed to Church of God?
There's a denomination of Church of God.
That's right, which wasn't in the first century. And so people today think Church of God, they think Charismatic Pentecostal, Church of God of the Union Assembly, and there's a bunch of them. Worldwide Church of God.
Adonai, I was going to say God is plural. There's three of the Godheads.
That's right.
Okay, so this God is Christ. Christ is God. We're talking about who purchased the church.
That's right. When it says He purchased with His own blood, so the Father did purchase it. Yeah.
Right.
And shed His blood. So you have Acts 20, verse 28, which is a reference to Christ, and Acts chapter 5, which is a reference to the Holy Spirit with Ananias and Sapphira, thou hast not lied to man, but to God. He said, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And all that means is that God just is a term that means deity, divine. And the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all three are divine. Right, any thoughts about that? I just wanted to give you that before we jump in to our sheet 20 minutes later. But you need to know that. You need to be on the ready to explain that with people. But when people say, well, I'm a member of the Church of the Bible too. Well, what church are you a member of? A lot of times they don't want to say that. Well, we are a church, the church you read about in the Bible. Well, let's just see if we find the church you're a member of in the Bible. It's pretty simple. If it's a biblical church, the biblical church, and surely I can read about it on a page of the Bible which furnishes me to every good work completely, giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness, didn't leave anything out, so surely we can read about it in the Bible.
Catholics claim that they're the church of God.
How many times do we read about the Catholic Church in the Bible? Zero. Well, the word Catholic just means universal. Okay. It's beside the point where you read about the Catholic Church. Someone, and we'll have covered this another night, but someone says, well, how do you know the Church of Christ is the Church of the Bible? You've got to be able to explain that to them. There's marks of identity that identify the Church of Christ. And if I can open up the pages of the Bible and I can read about what they taught, what they did, how they were organized, the work of which they did, and then I find the church today that does that same thing, guess what I found? I found the Lord's church, the Church of Christ. Why the Church of Christ? We'll spend the rest of the time just kind of talking about this. How many got 10 reasons on their sheet? Oh, Barb did. How many did you get, Barb?
I got 21.
21 reasons as to why you need to be a member of the Church of Christ. Did anybody get more than 21? Barb won. 21. I want you to really strive to do this. How many did you get? Anybody get 15? 10? 1? 14. Greg got 14? Good, Greg. If I'm going to scripturally answer that question, what is imperative for me to know? What must I know? I agree with you, John. What if I'm going to answer the question, why the Church of Christ, and we talk about the Bible being our authority, then I've got to know why. Why did I put anything on the sheet? Just because I think so?
Because the Bible says so.
I've got to know what the Bible says concerning the church. If I don't know what the Bible says concerning the Lord's church, there's no way I'm going to answer the question, why should I be a member of it? When I don't even know what the Bible says about it. Now you may say, well, Don, I didn't get anything on the sheet. We can fix that. You can learn. You can fix it, and then you'll have your sheet just full of reasons as to why be a member of the Lord's church. So there might be different places as you might would start with individuals. I'm just going to give you a few. We'll talk about this until our time runs out. You've got to let your mind think about all the things the Bible says about the church. And after you fill your sheet out and get your concordance out and look the word church up and see what the Bible says about it. One place you can start is in the Old Testament. Someone said, but the church is a concept in the New Testament. Well, the church was established in the New Testament, but guess what? It was prophesied of long before it was ever established. By the way, even long before it was even prophesied of in the Old Testament, guess where it was at? In the eternal mind of God. Before the world began. The purpose, what He would accomplish in Christ Jesus, was before the foundation of the world was even laid, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, who, as a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God knew what He was going to do before He even built the world. And who was going to be responsible for making that known to the world is who? The church. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, that to the intent of the principalities and powers might be made known in heavenly places by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And so we've got divine mission. In the second, or first Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul identifies the church as the pillar. That's something that supports, holds up, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's our job. That's our duty, is to make known unto the world the wisdom of God, salvation to man through Christ. So you could go back to the Old Testament to show folks why be a member of the Church of Christ, because it was prophesied of in the Old Testament. He didn't prophesy. Now listen, there are folks that might get highly agitated with you if you are this blunt, and that's okay. I'm not saying don't be kind, and I'm not saying be rude. I think we need to be considerate of how things are going to make people feel without skirting around the topic. I mean, I need to be aware of how this might cause this person to react. But yet, do we realize that in the Old Testament, the prophets foretold of the establishment of the Lord's church? He did not prophesy of the Baptist church, did he? Yes or no? Now, someone says, well, yes, he did. Well, then show me the passage. Guess what? No passage. He did not prophesy of the Catholic Church or any other Protestant church. They're referred to as Protestant for what reason? Say it again. That's right. Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the Catholic Church door at Wittenberg and protested against the Catholic Church, and those that followed him, we are Protestants. We are protesting against the Catholic Church. We're not Protestant. The Church of Christ has never been Protestant. We're not Catholic. We're not Jewish. Just New Testament Christians. But it was prophesied on the Old Testament. In what passages? Isaiah chapter 2. Who was? Did you say one wrong?
53.
Isaiah 53. Yeah, he talks about the suffering Lord, the messianic chapter of the Old Testament, especially the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 2, 1 through 3. Daniel 2, verse 44. Daniel 7. He talks about he would receive a kingdom. Joel chapter 2, which is the prophet Pentecost. This is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. All these talk about one way or another the establishment of the church and the New Testament law that would be brought in. Think about the New Testament, Jeremiah 31 through 34. But Isaiah chapter 2 talks about that the Lord's house would be established. Daniel 2, verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. He would receive a kingdom that would never pass away. Daniel 7, 1 and following. Joel 2. I've often said, if you remember these tombs, you pretty well remember in the Old Testament the prophecies concerning the Lord's church. Isaiah 2, Daniel 2, Joel 2, and Acts 2. These are good passages. But number one, why be a member of the Lord's church, of the Church of Christ? Because it was prophesied in the Old Testament. I want to be a member of the church of which they foretold in the Old Testament that there would be salvation in. Don't you? Why else be a member of the Church of Christ? Don't go too far into the New Testament. Just kind of think about it at the beginning of the New Testament. Kind of work your way through those passages that talk about the establishment of the Lord's church. If you got them in all sorts of different order on your sheet, you can always go back in your Bible and kind of make you a chain through your Bible and put them in order. I want to be a member of the Church of Christ because I know that Jesus said, go ahead.
There's life in that church.
Life?
Yeah.
What passage you got there?
Matthew
6,
18. Life in His name.
Okay. What was that passage again?
Matthew 16:18.
God dwells there.
Okay.
Dwells within us. Ephesians 2:22. God dwells in us.
Okay. Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to be a member of the Church of Christ because the Lord promised to build His church. Matthew 16:18. He didn't promise to build any other church. He never did promise to endorse any other church. In fact, I can read, as you can too, in Matthew 15:13, every plant which my Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. There's been a lot of planting going on. There's going to be a lot of rooted up too. So, and plus in Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, what's the rest of it? They labor in vain. Good. They labor in vain. That building. We know that the Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So He owns it. He promised to build it. Why be a member of the Church of Christ? Because it is the kingdom of which the Lord talked about in Mark chapter 9, verse 1. There be some that stand here which will not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom come with power. Now, not every time, we got 2 minutes left. Not every time that the word kingdom is used is church meant. So, what determines that? One word.
Context.
Give an example of where it does not mean the church. In the book of Acts chapter 13, when Paul and his companions, Barnabas and others, went out on these missionary journeys, they went back to check on the brethren. In Acts chapter 14 and in verse 22, he says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. What's he talking about there? Heaven. You don't enter the church by tribulation. You enter the church by faith, repentance, and confessing, and being baptized. This is a reference to heaven, not the church. So you got to let the context determine that. How can I prove that the kingdom is the church? Good. Colossians 1:13. John talked about it. Revelation 1, verse 9. Brother, tribulation, patience, and in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to that passage of Matthew 16:18-19, the very next verse after the Lord said, I'll build my church, He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now that doesn't mean that the apostles went out just on a whim, just decided they was going to do whatever they wanted to do, and everybody was subject to follow. Some translations say, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. That's the point that the Lord is making. Is they were on to speak by the Holy Spirit as the Word was revealed to them. The kingdom is the church. The church is the kingdom. Someone sent me a text today, a preacher did, and said, kingdom keys fit the church and church keys fit the kingdom. That's right. Matthew 16:18-19. The key being a symbol of what? Of authority. How did they have authority, as we wrap this up for tonight, how did they have authority? I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom.
Christ gave them authority.
And received power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, Acts chapter 2. And when they spoke, they were speaking by the authority of heaven. Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins would be preached first in my name among many nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And when Peter bound repentance and baptism in the name of Christ by the authority of Christ for the remission of sins in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, was that binding on those individuals? He sure did. Opened the keys of the kingdom. And those that would open, or those that would obey, were saved and added to the kingdom. The one church of the New Testament, the church of Christ. We didn't get much cover tonight, or maybe we did. We'll stop here. Our time.
Can I have one? I really like Ephesians 4, 4 through 6.
Okay. Go ahead and read, Jim.
Let me get there.
I appreciate your good participation, too. It makes a Bible class certainly worthwhile, because you just keep adding to what you know and what others say, and you just are more and more a formidable soldier. Go ahead, Jim.
There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one holy, you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all.
So why be a member of the Church of Christ? What point would you make out of that? It's the one body of the New Testament. Now, again, that's a passage you're going to take some explaining, because you're going to have to show them what the body is, and you would take them where? Ephesians chapter 1 identifies the body as being the church, and Colossians chapter 1. Good points. Appreciate your good attention.